We're on Yud Aleph on the days. Okay, good morning. The weekly shiur from Masechta Sota is sponsored by David and Paul Bounzer and OMO Construction, Building Futures. Breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Leo Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim, and Zev Ben David, and Sar Bas Shalom, Chaim Ben Yoshua, and Edo Bas Moshe Yosef. We're doing Sota Daf Yud Beis today. And we're going to start on the very bottom, three lines from the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Today's daf, Yud Beis, will be very familiar to us from all the Rashis and Midrashim we know from the beginning of Sefer Shmos. All the stuff that our kids come home from school talking about and all the stuff we talk about at the Seder having to do with Moshe and the birth of Moshe and the kind of the prelude to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But before we get into that, we're just going to do a little bit of cleanup work on the bottom of Yud Aleph, starting on the bottom of Yud Aleph on Amud Beis. We had been talking about Kalev, and we had been talking about family trees and who's related to who. So we're going to deal with a pasuk in Divrei Yamim that describes something about the family tree of Kalev. If you remember, Kalev was Yoshua's buddy, Yoshua and Kalev were the good guys in the story of the Meraglim. They came back, they were the only two who came back with good news. So Kalev is very much someone who's extolled in the Psukim. He's someone who did the right thing. And we'll see a little of that description here. But the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that we're about to quote seems to be a little bit confusing because it seems to get the family tree of Kalev wrong. It's confusing as to who these names are. That's the third line from the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. It says, V'Kalev ben Chetzron. We always know Kalev as Kalev ben Yefuna. So already there's something weird going on here. V'Kalev ben Chetzron, Holidus Azuva Isha V'Esirios. He gave birth, or he had Azuva Isha as his kid, it sounds like. But it's not clear, because Azuva Isha sounds like his wife. So what's going on here? V'Esirios, and it sounds like another child of Kalev was Yerios. Vela Banea, and these are the daughters, the kids of Yerios, I guess, Yeshar, Veshovev, Veedron. So the Gemara is going to immediately jump into this and try to understand what's going on here. If you look at the Mefarshim in the Pasuk and Divrei Yamin, when it says Azuva Isha, at least one pshat in there that our Gemara doesn't go into, is that Azuva Isha was the name of his child. He named his child Azuva Isha after his wife. Like, his wife's name was Azuva, and so he named his kid Azuva Isha, as if to say, this is like naming it after my wife Azuva. That's not what our Gemara is going to do. Let's see what our Gemara says. The Gemara first attacks this V'Kaliv B'Chetzron. So the Gemara says, Ben Chetzron, he's the son of Chetzron, Ben Yefunahu. We always thought the Psukim in the Torah referred him as Kaliv Ben Yefuna. So who's Chetzron? So the Gemara answers, Ben Yefuna is not his real, or I should say, Yefuna is not his real father's name, his father's real name, but rather it's a play on words, Ben Shepina, or Shepana Me Atzas Meraglim. He's the son who turned away from the Atzas Meraglim. Kalev did the right thing. He didn't follow the group in saying bad things about Eretz Yisrael, and so he's called Kalev Ben Yefuna as a allusion to the fact that Kalev turned away from the Atzas Meraglim, but really his father's name was Chetzron. The Gemara then says, I don't understand here. I thought, you're saying his father's name is Chetzron, Vakati ben Kenazu. There's another indication that his father was really Kenaz. Why? Dichsiv, Vayilkada Asniel ben Kenaz Achi Kalev. It refers to someone as Asniel, the son of Kenaz, and it says that Asniel, the son of Kenaz, was the brother of Kalev. If Asniel was the brother of Kalev, then it stands to reason that Kalev's father was also Kenaz, right? Because if Asniel and Kalev were brothers, they presumably shared a father. That was Kenaz. So what are we saying now that Chetzron was his father? Kenaz was his father. So the Gemara answer is Amarava Chorgo de Kenaz Hava. Actually, Kalev was the stepson of Kenaz. Kalev's real father was Chetzron. His mother remarried someone named Kenaz, and therefore Kalev was the stepson of Kenaz, and Asniel was his half-brother. He was his brother from his mother only, but not from his father. Dekanami, and there's another indication that this is true, that Kalev wasn't actually the son of Kenaz, but that he was in the family of Kenaz because he was a stepson, Tchsiv HaKenizi. It refers to Kalev as the Kenizi, which doesn't literally mean that he was that Kenaz was his father, but that he was from the house of Kenaz. Shema Aminah, so that indicates that Kalev's stepfather was Kenaz. Okay, back in that confusing pasuk from Divrei Yamim, it said that he gave birth to, or he had a kid named Azuva Isha. So Azuva Zu Miriam. This is actually referring to Miriam.
Which was his wife.
Which was his wife, right. Miriam Velama Nikra Shema Azuva. Right, in the pasuk it says Azuva Isha, indicating that Miriam was actually Kalev's wife. Miriam was the sister of Moshe and Aaron. So, Lama Nikra Shema Azuva, why is the pasuk referring to Miriam as Azuva? Sha'kol Azvua Mitchilas, Sha'kol Azvua. That everyone abandoned her. Mitchilasa Holid, the. That from the beginning of her life, everyone abandoned her. She was not someone who was viewed as good marriage material. As Rashi points out, she started off sick. She was sickly as a child. She was sickly as a young woman. And therefore, it was hard for her to find a shidduch. And that's why she's called Azvua, because people abandoned her. Then the pasuk said, Holid, right? It says, Kalev ben Chetzron, Holidus Azuva. So the Gemara says, "Valu minsav havanasivla." What do you mean? He had Azuva or Miriam as his daughter. She was his wife, not his kid. Rav Yochanan kanose isha l'shem shemayim mala alav akasiv kiul yalada. Anyone who marries a woman l'shem shemayim, it's as if he gave birth to her. It's as if it's her kid. Rashi says that the shem shemayim here was that he married Miriam because he was bodek be'acheha, Aaron and Moshe. He looked into Aaron and Moshe. He saw that they were super-duper people, and therefore he saw this was a good shidduch, notwithstanding the fact that she looked sickly, that she was sick. And the Gemara in Baba Basra, as Rashi points out, says that rov banim domin la'acheha aim, that your kids are going to be, are very much, are likely to be like the brothers of the mother. And so, when you want to check into a shidduch, check into the brothers of the woman. And that's exactly what Kalev did. And that's why this is considered a marriage l'shem shemayim, because he did it because he was impressed by the yiras shemayim of Aaron and Moshe. And so that's why it says holid, because it was as if he had her as a child. Yurios, that's the next word in the pasuk in Divrei Yamim. Azuva Yishav es Yurios. And the Gemara now explains Yurios wasn't a person, but rather Shahayu Paneha Domin Lirios. It's describing Miriam herself, that her face looked like Yurios. I guess Yurios are like curtains. She didn't look very good. Rashi says that it didn't have any kind of redness in her face. She didn't have very much color. She was very pale, or even she was like greenish looking. Because as we said, when she was young, she was sickly. And that is describing her appearance. Then the pasuk continued and says, "Ve'ela baneha, al tikra and ela baneha." These are her sons. And then it said three names: Yesher, Veshova, Ve'edron. But the Gemara now interrupts and says, "Al tikra baneha, ela boneha." Don't say that these are now describing the sons of Miriam, but rather boneha, the one who built her up, meaning Kalev, who married her when she was sickly and kind of brought life back to her and built her up. That's who this is describing. And then it says, Yishar, Veshovi, Ve'edron. These are nicknames for Kalev himself. Yishar, Sheyashar, Esatzmo. His name is Yishar, which means straightforward, because he kept himself straight in terms of the Meraglim. Shovev, Sheshivev, Es Yitzro. Shovev is an allusion to the fact that he broke his own Yetzer, meaning he went against his intuition and what might have drawn him to follow the other Meraglim, and he broke away from them. He broke his Yetzer. Ve'ardon sherada es Yetzro, that he ruled over. Adron is a play on the word rada, that he ruled over his Yetzer. Again, the fact that he broke away from the Atzas Meraglim, he brought back good news, and these three words, or these three names, are all describing that aspect of Kalev. Dika Damri, another approach to the word Ardon. al shahu panea domin levered, that after Kalev married Miriam, who had been sick and pale, her face got some color and became the appearance of a rose. So again, this is an allusion to the greatness of Kalev, that he brought life back to Miriam. Then the pasuk continues. Again, this is the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, or a different pasuk in Divrei Yamim, actually. L'ashchor avita koa hayu shtei nashim chala v'nara. So the Gemara now says, Ashchor zua Kalev. This is another name for Kalev. So we're, again, collecting all sorts of names for Kalev. V'lama nikra shmo Ashchor. Why is he referred to as Ashchor, which means black? Shehushchoru panav b'tanios. Because his face became black from all the fast that he undertook as a tefillah, as Rashi points out, as a tefillah to Hashem, shiyinatzel ma'atzeis meraglim. He was among the meraglim. They were up to no good. And so he fasted in order to beg Hashem to save him from this bad situation. And as a result, his face turned black. That's how. That's why he's referred to as Ashkor. Avi, that was the next word in that pasuk. Ashkor Avi. Avi shenase la ka'av. That he was like a father, again, to Miriam. Takoa, shetaka is libo aviv shevashmaim. He's referred to as Takoa because he entrenched, or he dug his heart in to his father in heaven. In other words, again, an allusion to the fact that he davened to Hashem to save him from the Atzas Meraglim, from following the Meraglim. And then it says, Hayushtei Nashim. Why does it say, right, that was, again, the continuation of the puzzle we just quoted, Hayushtei Nashim. He had two wives, Chala Vinara. So the Gemara is now saying he didn't literally have two wives, one named Chala, one Menara, but rather Nasim Miriam Kishtei Nashim. In the course of his marriage to Miriam, Miriam had the character of two wives, Chala Vinara. At one point she was Chala, at one point she was Nara. Lo Chala Vinara, Havai, not that she was named Chala Nara, but rather El Bitchila Chala. In the beginning she was considered Chala, she was like a holy, Luvasof Nara, and at the end she became like a young woman who had the life and appearance of a young woman, because again Kalev infused life back into her when he married her. Then the pasuk quotes again, this is the continuation of the Pesukim Divrei Yamim, Ubnei Chala Saras Vitsohar Ve'etznan. The kids of Chala are Saras, Tsohar, and Esnan. And again, we're pointing out names for Miriam. Saras Shanasit Sarah Lechavrusea. She's referred to as Saras, and again, this is referring to Miriam after she had been infused with life and health, and she got her color back and her appearance back. She was a very attractive woman, so much so that she was Nasis Tsaral Chavruseha, that she was a tsara, literally means a co-wife. But here it means that she kind of made everyone else jealous, because she was like a tsara. She was like a thorn in the side of all the other wives in Klal Yisrael, because all their husbands saw Miriam, saw that she was such an attractive wife, and that caused them to kind of look down on their own wives, and that was therefore a thorn in the side of the other wives. So she's like a tsara to them. Tsohar, in what sense is she considered a tsohar? Shehayu panea domin kitzaharayim. She, her face, again, got color back to it, and as it was like the afternoon where the sun is shining. Esnan, and she was called, referred to as Esnan, as Shekar Roa Osa Molech Esnan Ishto. Esnan usually in Chazal is referring to, or in the Torah really, is referring to a payment made to someone who's selling themselves for relations, right, to a prostitute. A very not nice thing. So Esnan here, she's referred to as Esnan, the payment to a prostitute, because Shekar Roa Osa Molech Esnan Ishto. Anyone who sees her, it would cause them to have taivas for tashmish, and would cause them to kind of bring flowers home to their wives or bring chocolates home to their wives in order to get their wives to have relations with them. And that was all because of, again, the appearance and the health that was infused back in Miriam. Okay, that's all the discussion about these confusing psukim in Divrei Yamim, which kind of give names that don't seem to fit the family tree, and we reinterpret those names for all these different descriptions.
So just one question. How come this entire thing is talking about Caleb ben Yefune, saying Yefune because he pana, he was, you know, he...
Yeah.
But Yoshua ben Nun was also with him. Why, we could have said that Yoshua also ben Yefune, you know.
I guess in other places in Shas, we talk about how great Yoshua was. Here we're focusing on that.
You could also say that Moshe Davin for Yeshua gave him an extra yod, while Caleb did it more like on his own without backing. So we're focusing on Caleb for once.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that is, yeah. Okay. All right, now we're back to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Vayitzav Paro l'chol amo. This is talking now about the gezeira that Paro made to throw all the male babies into the Nile. So Paro made a tzivoy, he made a commandment. Amar Rav Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, af alamo gazer. As Rashi points out, Paro was very worried about a leader rising among Klal Yisrael because his astrologers had told him that that would happen. And so he wasn't sure that it would just be a kid from Klal Yisrael that would rise to this level. He thought maybe one of the Mitzrim would take on some kind of leadership role in Klal Yisrael. And so therefore he made this gezeira not only on the Jewish children, but even on the non-Jewish children, even on the Mitzrim. He actually had three stages in which he enacted these gezeros. In the beginning, he said, "In Benhu, v'amiten oso." In the beginning, he said, "If it's a boy, he should be killed." And at the end, he said, "Ben hayuod." In the end, he said, "Anyone who is born should be sent to the Nile." Meaning, Rashi points out, the first stage was that he relied on the aldos, he relied on the individuals to kill their own children. And in the end, he saw that that wasn't reliable. People were saving their own babies, and therefore he upped the ante and he said, anyone who is born should be thrown into the Nile, because that was a way of kind of monitoring it on a public level. L'basof af alamogazar, and then he ratcheted it up. And then he included the gzera to include not only the Jewish people, but rather all the people. Rashi points out that the reason why he ratcheted it up in this way is because his astrologers had said that there was a certain day that the leader of Klal Yisrael would be born. And then that day passed, and his astrologers still saw that he was around, that he hadn't been killed. So then he realized, okay, I have to broaden the decree to include not only the Jews, but also the non-Jews. Now we have a very famous Medrash, or a very famous Gemara. Vayelech ish mibeis Levi. This is referring to Amram, that a man from the house of Levi went. And this is talking about the birth of Moshe, the conception of Moshe. Leheichan halach. Where did he go? Amram Yudah bar Zvina, shalach ba'atzas bito. He went at the advice of his daughter. Tana, and we have a brace that explains. Amram gadol hador haya. Amram was the gadol hador. He was a big gadol, big leader in Klal Yisrael. Kevan she, what's this girsa? Kevan she, gazar paro harasha. Once Paro made the gezera that kohaben hayilod hayora tashlichuhu. That once Paro made the gezera that every boy who is born should be thrown in the Nile. Amar, so Amram reacted by saying, Lashav anu amelim, we're acting frivolously. There's no reason for us to have kids. Our kids are just going to be thrown into the Nile. And so therefore, Amad v'girishis ishto, his reaction was he stood up and he divorced his wife. And then everyone followed his example. Amdu kulan, everyone stood up, v'girshu es nisho sehen. They all followed his example and divorced their wives. So Amr lobito, so Miriam came to Amram and said, Abba, father, kasha gezera scha yoser mishel paro. Your gezera, by divorcing your wife, Yocheved, and by setting an example and leading everyone to divorce their wives, you are turning out to make a gezera that's even harsher than Paro's gezera. Shaparo lo gazar el ala zacharim. Paro only stopped male babies from being born or from thriving. He killed the bitten males. And your actions are going to result in no babies being born, not male or female. Furthermore, Paro gazar ela b'olamazeh. Paro ordered that babies be killed in this world, But presumably those souls would still live in Olam Haba. Vata, by you not having any kids, Vata Olam Hazeh Uli Olam Haba. You're stopping all conception, all births, not just for Olam Hazeh, but Olam Haba also. Paro Harasha Safek Miskayemes Kazeraso Safek Ena Miskayemes. When it comes to Paro, so he's going to make a decree, it's not clear that it's actually going to succeed. Maybe there will be people that will hide away their babies. Maybe some miracle will happen, something good will happen. Ata tzadik, bevade shigaz... I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Paro, Russia. Paro is a Russia. And so therefore, we don't really know that his gzeros are going to be miskayemis. Maybe something will... Right, because he's a Russia, maybe his gzera is going to fail. However, ata tzadik, you're a tzadik and you're doing something. So, bevade shegzerascha miskayemes. Certainly, the gzera of a tzadik is going to be fulfilled, and there are going to be no kids. Shnemar v'tigzar omer vayakam. It's post a pasuk from Eov, which refers to the fact that there was a tzadik and his gzeras were mekuyam. And so, therefore, as a result of all this cajoling, all these arguments, Amram responded by leich. He went. Amad, he stood up, v'hichziras ishto, and he returned to his wife, he remarried his wife. And as a result of that, amdu kulan v'hichziru es nishosei, and all the other people followed his example, and they remarried their wives. So then the Gemara has a question. The pasuk says, vayikach, it says vayikach, that he took his wife, as if to say he married his wife. The Gemara says, vayachzor miboyle, it should have said he remarried his wife. It sounds like he's just remarrying her for the first time, but really, if this story is true, then he's remarrying his wife. So Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Zvina, Rav Bar Zvina says that the reason why the pasuk said vayikach, as if to say it was a first marriage, it was because she'asalo maiseli kuchin. He made it like a first marriage. A first marriage is always more grand, is always a lot more pomp and circumstance. And so when Amram did this and remarried his wife, he did it with all the pomp and circumstance as if it was a first marriage. Hoshiva ba pirion, ba'aron u'miriam miraktim lefaneha. He put her on the bridal canopy and Aaron and Miriam were dancing. They made a big wedding. U'malachei asharis amru em abanim smecha. And the malachei asharis, as a result of all this, were very happy about the fact that there would be more babies in Klal Yisrael. And they quoted the pasuk, "Eim abanim smecha," that Hashem takes someone who's barren and makes her into a mother, a happy mother. Okay, so the Gemara then says, "As bas Levi, Amram married a bas Levi, which makes it sound like she was young, right? A bas Levi, the daughter of Levi. Efshar bas meo shloshim shana havya." Can it be possible that we're describing someone who's 130 years old, Vikari Labas, and we're describing her as a bas? And how do we know she was 130 years old? Amar Rabbi Chama bar Yechanina, Zuyo Cheved, Shorasa Bederech, Voidasa Bein Achomos. We know there's a tradition that Yocheved was born at the very, very earliest time of Klal Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim, Bein Achomos as they entered. Shnemar, we know this from the Psukim. I'm sure these are all familiar Rashis, right? Asher Yalda Osa Levi Bin Mitzrayim. There was a description of her being born in Mitzrayim. Leidasa ben Mitzrayim, veinarasa ben Mitzrayim. That implies that she was only born in Mitzrayim, she was given birth to in Mitzrayim, but her conception was not in Mitzrayim. Amar Yehuda, so that's the question. How could it be that we're describing someone who's 130 years old? Rashi goes through the explanation here of exactly how you get to 130. That has to do with how long the Shibud was and how long they were in Mitzrayim and when Moshe was born. Right, Moshe was 80 years old at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Shibud is 210. So if you do the math, you get to the fact that she must have been 130 years old. So how could it be that we're referring to as a bas Levi, a young maiden of Levi? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda shenoldu ba simani naros. Rabbi Yehuda says that here at age 30, she took on some of the simanim of naros. She kind of became young in terms of her appearance, in terms of her ability to bear children, etc. So now continuing the story, Vatara Isha Vatele Ben. She conceived and she had a kid. Vahavis me'abra beitlasi yarcha me'ekaris. The Gemara says, wasn't she already pregnant 3 months already when this happened? So the Gemara is going to explain that. in a moment, I think. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Zvina, Makish Le Dasal Ha'ra. So the question is, why does it say that she conceived of a son right now after the story, after Amram had taken her back? She was already pregnant based on the mat that we'll see in a moment. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Zvina, Makish Le Dasal Ha'ra. It's not coming to teach you that she literally conceived of Moshe now, but rather it's telling you in the same pasuk, it's using the word conception and birth to teach you maharasa shlo bitzar, just like a conception wasn't bitzar, right? A woman conceives a baby without tzar, that's not a painful experience. Afli dasa shlo bitzar, to teach you that her birth of Moshe was without pain. And from here we see that Nashim Tzidkanios don't experience childbirth. They don't experience that curse of Chava experiencing childbirth. Vatera Osokito, the Pasuk goes on to explain that she had Moshe and she saw that Moshe was good. Kitovu. So what does that mean? Tanya Reimer Omer Tov Shemo. Reimer says that his name was Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tovya Shemo. Rabbi Yehuda says his name was Tovya. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Hagun Lenevius. He was worthy of accepting Nevuah. Acherim Omrim Nolad Kishahu Maho. Acherim are quoted as saying, others is quoted as saying that he was born circumcised. That's what it means when it says Vatero Soki Tovu. The Chachamim Omrim Bishasha Nolad Moshe, at the moment that Moshe was born, Nismale habayis kulo or, the whole house was filled with light. Ksifacha vatera oso kitovu. Ksifasam vayaro kimasor kitov. The word vayar is similar to the word, same shorish as the word vatera. So it's referring to the fact that there was light in the house when Moshe was born. Interesting here, this machlok is quoted Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Acherim. So throughout Shas, who's Acherim?
Us.
So usually you already know the answer. Throughout Shas, Acherim is Rabbi Meir. Usually when we say Acherim, Tosfos or someone points out, by the way, that's Rabbi Meir. So Tosfos here says, I don't understand. It quotes Rabbi Meir and Acherim in the same machlokas because Acherim can't be Rabbi Meir. So there's a suggestion here in a kuntrus tsarfas, a kuntrus of tsarfas. I'm not sure if that's referring to some. Usually Rashi is referred to the kuntrus, right? And Rashi is from Tsarfas. Here it's referring to this Kuntras Tsarfas. I'm not sure if that's Rashi or some other manuscript that was found from France. Shmuel Shekibel Me'elisha ben Avuya Kavum B'Shem Acherim. That sometimes Acherim is referring to Elisha ben Avuya because his name was Acher, right? So Acherim Omer, he got the name Acher after the whole story in Chagiga there. So that's one opinion in Tosfos. Then Tosfos has a problem with that because usually it's Rabbi Meir. And so Tosfos says that it's referring to Rabbi Meir. It's his earlier opinion and a later opinion. I guess that Rabbi Meir originally said Tov, and then he somehow got to change his mind and came around to say that it was Noah Kushu Mo. Anyway, it's interesting Tosfos because Acher Omrim is usually referring to Rabbi Meir. Okay, back in the story. She hid him for 3 months. She hid him for 3 months. So why did she hide him for 3 months? Or how was she able to get away with hiding him for 3 months before she really hid him in the Nile? So Dulamanu Mitzriim El Misha Da Hadra, because the Mitzriim, they were keeping track of when Amram remarried her. And so they figured when Amram remarried her, that's when she would have conceived of Moshe. And then they counted 9 months from there. Vihi havas abra beitlasa yarchem yikar. But really, this is what we alluded to before, she had really already been pregnant from Amram 3 months earlier. So this intermittent story where Amram left her and then came back, that was notwithstanding the fact that she was already pregnant 3 months earlier. And so therefore, she was able to hide the baby for 3 months because the Mitzrim were counting 9 months from her reunification with Amram. Really, she had been pregnant 3 months earlier, so she had a 3-month window of opportunity to surreptitiously hide the baby there.
Somebody didn't know that she was pregnant.
And they didn't know that she was pregnant, right? They were just counting her for. And
no, so Amram didn't know that she was pregnant either. You know, what's the point of
divorcing her? Otherwise, what's the point of divorcing her?
Pregnant,
yeah, okay, that's a good point, right? Unless he just didn't want more kids with her, but yeah, whatever. Yeah, good point. Okay, so and the first 3 months she wasn't showing, obviously. So that was the issue. V'lo yachlo od hatzpino, and after that she couldn't hide him anymore. Amai titzpin of a tazel. So the Gemara says, why didn't you just hide him? What's the big deal? Even though the mitzvah now know that you have or suspect that you might have a baby, just put the baby in the in the back room. It hides him. So the Gemara answers, El kohicha davushami mitzray de misyalad yanuka. Whenever the mitzvah heard or suspected that a baby had been born, mimatu yanuka hasam, they would bring another baby there, kihechi davusham inu ma'ave. Because a baby reacts to the coos or the crying of another baby, so they'd bring another baby to the vicinity and have that baby make some noise, and that would elicit a response from the baby, and they'd uncover the baby. Dechsiv, and there's an allusion to this in Shir HaShirim, which is, again, all like an allegorical thing, but a lot of it covers the story about Yetzias Mitzrayim, when the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Achsu lanu shu'alim shu'alim ketanim, that these small wolves found us, referring to this practice of bringing a baby to the other babies in order to elicit a reaction. Okay, so what did Miriam do? Famously, what did she do? Vatikach lo tevas goma. She took a basket, and right to put in the river. So maishna guma. Why was it made out of guma? So Amar Rav Elazar mikan la tzadikim shim mamonam chavev aleihem yoser migufan. She used a cheap, a not very expensive material, and this is an allusion to the fact that tzaddikim, their money is very dear to them. They are very careful about their money. The kol kach lama, why would that be? Gofish ein poshin yideim begezel. They're very careful about gezel. So as a result, tzaddikim have an extra sensitivity about the value of money because they stay far away from anything that even could be anything remotely associated with gezel. And that's why they are frugal or careful about how they spend their money. And that's why this was just a simple basket. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar Davar Rach, that this basket was a soft basket. Why Shiachol Amud Bifnei Davar Rach Bifnei Davar Kasha? A soft thing can withstand the impact of a soft thing and a hard thing. The way Rashi makes it sound like it absorbs shock better, right? She was putting him out in the in the swamp, in the Nile, wherever he was going, he was going to encounter rocks. It would bump up against stuff. And so having a soft basket allowed it to absorb the impact to be a more comfortable ride for Moshe. Batachmra b'chemar v'zefes. She covered it with chemar and zefes. Zefes is like tar. Chemar is like clay. Tana chemar b'mi b'fnim v'zefes mi b'chutz. Again, this is a famous Rashi. Deshoi ariach oso tzadik. She would cover the inside with clay, the outside with the pitch, with the tar, because that has a bad smell. She didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to smell the bad smell. Batasam ba'as hayeled, batasam ba'suf. She put it in the suf. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yamsuf. She put it in the Nile River, the Yamsuf. Rabbi Shmuel Nachmini Omer. Agam, just in a marsh, not necessarily the Amsuf, but you put it in an Agam. Kedichsiv, Kanavasuf, Kamalo. This is a way you refer to a general marsh. And then what happened? Vaterid Bas Paro Lirchos Al Yor. So Bas Paro, Batya, comes to bathe in the river. Amar of Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Melamed Shiyarda Lirchos Migilui Avia. She was coming to wash away the Avodah Zarah of her father. There's a pasuk that refers to washing away bad stuff, as specifically referring to Avodah Zarah. She was accompanied by her attendants. When it says holchos, that they were walking with her, it's saying that they were on their way to death, as we'll see in a moment. There's a pasuk that refers to Alicha in the context of Maves. So Holeich is an allusion to death, that they were going to die. We'll see in a moment what that is. Batera es hateva betoch hasuf. And she saw Moshe Rabbeinu's basket in the suf, in this marsh or in the Yam Suf. Kevan de chazu de ka boi, what is this? De ka ba. De ka ba es latsule le Moshe. So once the attendants saw that she was going to save Moshe, Amru, right, they saw that there was a baby in there, and they knew what was going on, that Paro had made this gezeira against all the babies. And so Amru La, so they said to her, give your tenu, our master. Minhagenu shal, minhago shal olam, melech basar v'dam gozer gezeira, imko am kulo im mekaimin osa, b'ano v'nei boso mekaimin osa. So usually the way things work is that if a king makes a gezeira, so it might be that the country people, the people, his subjects, might not listen to the gezeira, but at least his own family will listen to the gezeira. They're the most, ones most likely to listen to his gezeira. The ato veris al gezeiras avicha, avich, and you're going to violate the gezeira of your father. What's going on here? You are the closest to Paro. You of anyone, should uphold his gezeira. And now you're going to save this baby? That's going to violate the gezeira. Bach Gavriel, so Gavriel the Malach saw that things were going badly here, that they were going to stop her from saving Moshe, v'chavtam b'karkas. So he came and he smote them down and threw them down onto the ground and killed them. That's what the allusion to above is, that v'narasel holchos, that they were holchos l'misa, because they were about to be killed. Okay, so then what happened? V'tishlach ha-samasa v'tikachela. She puts out her arm, and she takes him. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, is machlokes. Chad amar yada. One says this was her hand that she put out. V'chamar amar shivchasa. And one says it was her servant. She sent her servant, her maid servant, to save him. Man de'amar yada d'chsiv amasa. The one who says that she used her hand is because it says v'tishlach es amasa, and amasa is a way to refer to the yad. Man de'amar shivchasa. And the one who says it was her maidservant that she sent, it's because midulok siv yada, because the most straightforward way of describing a hand is to say yad. Yad is the most straightforward way of saying hand. And instead, the pasuk deviates slightly and says amasa, which might be a synonym for hand, but it's not the most straightforward way of saying hand. So if it's not saying hand in a straightforward way, it must be referring to something else. And that's why Rabbi Nechemya concludes, or one of them concludes, that it's referring to her shivcha. Uluman diamar shivchasa. Ha'amra, ha'amris, what is this? Uman de'amr shivchasa, and the one who says, and the one who says that she sent a maidservant to get the baby, how could that be? Ha'amris ba'gavriel v'chavtim b'karka. We thought all the maidservants were dead, right? Gavriel had come and smitten them down to the ground. The answer is d'shir l'chada, because Gavriel spared one of them, because it's not appropriate, it's not respectful for a princess to be unaccompanied out alone. So Gavriel respected that, kept one alive, and that was the one that she sent to save Moshe. Uman de'amar yada, according to the opinion that it was her actual hand that was sent out, luchtov yada, why doesn't it say yada? Why does it say amasa? Gemara says, this is perhaps the most famous medrash, most famous Maimar Chazal ever, Hakamashvon di shtarbev ishtarbuve. This is teaching you that it was, right, ama makes it sound like an amasa, makes it sound like an ama, like it extended very far out. And this is referring to the miracle that her hand extended very, very far out. Damar mar v'china tamotsi b'amasa shel bas paro. Because we have a few mamari chazal where we see someone's hand extending extremely far out. V'china tamotzi ba'masa shel bas paro, referring to bas paro's hand that extended extremely far out, like a telescoping arm to save the baby. V'china ata b'motzi b'shine rishayim, d'chsiv shine rishayim shivarta. This is referring to Og Melech HaBashan, the time of the war of Klal Yisrael. So the Medrash says that Og lifted a mountain in order to throw it on Klal Yisrael as part of the war. And then a miracle happened and a bunch of ants came and they kind of carved out a hole, and that caused the mountain to fall onto Og's neck. and the mountain was now surrounding Og's neck, and in order not to allow Og to pull off the mountain to save himself, Hashem caused his teeth to grow out really long to kind of lock the mountain on his neck. Mm. And so that's the second instance where we see something extending out similar to Bas Paro's hand. It says Shnei Rishonim Shibarte Amar Rish Lakish Al Tikrei Shibarte El Shar Shirivavasa, that it grew out. And that is that's the other instance where that happened. Interestingly, we always think of everyone brings home their kindergarten projects of Batya's hand going out and the extending arm, the fans out. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz actually says that this is not to be understood literally, right? Many midrashim are not to be understood literally. It just means that she exerted herself. She went above and beyond the call of duty and kind of extended herself out. But it doesn't literally mean that her hand telescoped
out.
Maybe
she stepped into the water.
Stepped into the water. But the point is that she did something extraordinary to save him. And that's what the Medrash is trying to get at. Okay. What was that?
She went against
her father, right? She did something extraordinary, right? It wasn't just that the water was cold, right?
Right.
It was, right. Okay, good. Vatiftach vatir'ehu es hayeled. So then she opens up this basket, and what does she see? There's a baby there. Batera mi boilei. It should have said that she saw vatir'ehu. Why is there an extra hey vav there? It should have said in a more straightforward way, vatera, that she saw the yeled. Amrav Yosi, Bravi Chanina, Shirasa Shechina Imo. She saw the Shechina there. She saw the glow or whatever indicated that the Shechina was present. This was a very holy baby. Vinei Nar Bocha. And she saw this baby was crying. Karigla Yeled, Vikarigla Nar. On the one hand, it says in the previous pasuk, Yeled, a boy. And then it says Nar, as if to indicate someone is a little older. Tana, who Yeled? Vikol Kanar. He was really a boy, a baby, right? A small boy. But his voice was like a nar, a little older. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemya, imkein asisa l'moshe Rabbeinu balmum. If you're saying he's a little baby and then he had like a deep voice like a nar, or a voice of like an adolescent boy, so then it turns out you're making Moshe a little bit like a freak, right? A little like a balmum. Rashi says it's not just that it looks weird, but he's a Levi, and he's not going to be kasher la'avoda. The Levim are supposed to sing in the Beis Hamikdash. People who sing are supposed to have nice voices. You're saying that this young boy already had a voice of an older boy. The voice is going to be off. It's a balmum for someone who should be singing. So that doesn't sound right, says Rabbi Nechemya. Rather, el malamish asasalo imo chupas ni'urim beteva. It's describing the fact that again, we're talking about the contradiction between the word yeled and nar. So it's an allusion to the fact that Yocheved, when she put him in the basket, she made it decorated like a wedding canopy. Why? Amra shemelo eskal chupaso. She said, this is a very risky endeavor. She's sending off this boy and she may never see him again. I'm never going to see him get married. So she kind of made a mini wedding or decorated it like a wedding to allude to the fact that she might never see him get married. Batachmo alav. So now back to describing Batya's reaction. Batachmo alav. She took pity on him. Batomer. And she said, Miyalde ha'ivrim zeh. This must be from the Jewish people. Mino yadas. So the Gemara says, how did she know that this was a Jewish baby? Amar b'yosi b'rabi chanina sherasa oso mahol. She saw that he was circumcised. Zeh, the pasuk says zeh, right? What does the pasuk say? Vinei nar b'cheva toch mo alav. She had pity on him. Vatomer mial de ha'ivrim zeh. This zeh is from the people who were born from the Ivrim. Amar of Yochanan melami shenisnava shalom midaita. She had nevua without even realizing it. Zeh nofel vein acher nofel. She was referring to the fact that this boy, she was referring to the fact that she knew that the Gezerah was about to be canceled, as we'll see in a moment. So Zeno fell. This boy came into the water today, but no other Jewish boys are coming into the water anymore because Paro is about to undo his gezeira, as we'll see in a second. Behind the Dom Rabbi Lazar, my dechsiv v'chi omru alechem dirshu alavos ve'adunim and tzavsevim amahagim. What is this pasuk referring to when it's talking about non-Jews engaged in sorcery and all sorts of heebie-jeebie stuff? Sofim vein yodin mat sofim. They see the future, but they don't even know that they're seeing this future. Mehagim vein yodin ma mahagim. They groan and kind of inhabit voices, and they don't even know they're doing so. This is a description of the fact that Batya said an extra word zeh, which was a nevuah that she didn't even know she was saying a nevuah. It kind of just came out of her mouth. Good. Ra'u Shemoshian Shah Yisrael B'mayim Hugoka. Right? The astrologers of Paro realized or had a vision that the savior of the Jewish people was somehow going to be smitten in water. Now, we know that was the fact that Moshe hit the rock and it was a story surrounding water. That was his ultimate undoing. But they had an imprecise vision, and they saw that somehow the savior of the Jewish people would be smitten, or would his downfall would be with water. And so therefore, Amdu v'gazru, they made the gezeira called Ben Hayyuot Hayora Tashuchu. So they figured the way to stop the leader of Klal Yisrael from arising was to have all the babies thrown in the water. That was consistent with the idea that the future savior of the Jewish people would be struck down with water. And so therefore what happened was, Kevan Jishadju Ala Moshe, once Moshe was put in the water, he was put now in a dangerous position, right? His situation was very much in peril, and therefore the astrologers immediately got a kind of, their bat signal was, their signal from the astrology was that everything is okay. Because once the actual savior of the Jewish people, Moshe, was put in the water, they kind of let their guard down, or the astrology let its guard down and said, okay, things are better now because Moshe is now in peril. So Amru, su lo chazina. Now we no longer see the warning signs for the future savior of the Jewish people who's going to arise. Kiahu simana. I'm sorry, Su'al Chazina Kiyahu Simana. We no longer see the warning signs that we're in trouble from a leader. And so therefore, Batlu Gezeira Sayu. So Paro undid the Gezeira at that point. He kind of jumped the gun. He acted prematurely, and he undid the Gezeira and stopped the Jewish babies from having, or all the babies from having to be thrown into the Nile. V'heim Einan Yodim, and they didn't realize that the real truth was Sha'almei Meriva Huloka, that really Moshe's downfall was going to be with the rock. That when the pasuk is referring to Me Meriva, Asher Ravu, it's an allusion to the fact that the astrologers of Paro saw water as being the downfall for the Jewish leader's for the Jewish people's leader, and they made a mistake, as we just described. V'hainu deka Amar Moshe Sheish Meos Elef Ragui. So Moshe says 600,000 feet. Amar lehen Moshe Yisrael, bishvili nitzaltem kulchem. Because of me, all of you were saved. Meaning all the Jewish boys now who were not killed in the Nile, that's all because Paro's gezeira was undone at the moment that I was put in peril by having my basket put in the water. And as a result, the gezeira was lifted. And that's why all of you were saved. Okay, what date did this happen? Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Amar. Oso ayom esrim ve'echa b'nisan haya. This was the 21st day of Nisan. Amru malach ha'esharis v'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the malachim said to Hashem, Ribono sh'olam, mi sh'asid lomar shira al hayom b'yom ze yilake. I'm sorry. Misha said Lomar Shira al Hayam Beyom Zeh, the person who's ultimately going to say Shira, Az Yashir, after Kriyas Yamsuf, he's going to say it on this day, right? It was the 21st day of Nisan. That's the same day that in a few years from now, Yetzias Mitzrayim would take place, and they would be saved at the Yamsuf, and then he'd say that Moshe Rabbeinu would lead Klal Yisrael in Shira. So So the Malachim said to Hashem, you're going to put Moshe in peril on this day when it's the anniversary of the day that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say Shira. And that's why he was saved. Meaning in that merit of the Malachim saying that, he was saved. Ravacha bar Chanina mar oso yom shisha b'sivanaya. Rather, it wasn't the 21st day of Nisan. Rather, it was the 6th day of Sivan, which was what? The day of Matan Torah. So Amar Malachi, Ashar Zofnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said to him, Ribono Shel Olam, Isha Asid L'Kabel Torah, Mehar Sinai B'Yom Zeh, Yilaka B'Yom Zeh. The argument that the Malachim made to Hashem was, you have to save Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's the one who's going to be the one who is going to receive Torah, the Torah on Har Sinai on the 6th day of Sivan. So today is an inopportune time for him to suffer. You have to save Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why he was saved. So Bishlom on the Amar Bishisha B'Sivan. We could understand the position that this whole story took place on the 6th day of Sivan. Why? Vishgachas la Gimel Yarchi. So then we understand why 3 months had passed where Yocheved was successfully hid Moshe Rabbeinu, right? We said in Amud Aleph that 3 months passed from the time he was born until she put him in the marsh. So we could understand, if we say that this took place on the 6th day of Sivan, we could understand the passage of 3 months. Why? Damar Mar. We know when Moshe's birthday was, right? Damar Mar, b'shiva ba'adar meis, u'b'shiva ba'adar nolad Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was born and died on the 7th day of Adar. And therefore, the math makes sense. U'b'shiva ba'adar, v'ad'shisha b'sivan t'lasi yarche. It's exactly 3 months from the 7th day of Adar to the 6th day of Sivan. And then the story makes perfect sense. 3 months she hid him, and then she put him in the basket after 3 months. But according to the opinion, it says that this incident with the basket took place on the 21st day of Nisan. How can this be? There's not 3 months, right? So the Gemara answers, Osa Shana Mu'uberes Haisa. This was a leap year. There was an extra other in there. And even though you don't have 3 full months, but you have Rubo Shel Rishon, you have more than half of the month of the first month, meaning Adar, right? It was Shiva. He was born on the 7th day of Adar, so now you have the whole rest of Adar. Virubo Shel Achron, and you have the days in Sivan. I'm sorry, you have the days in Sivan. I'm sorry, the days of Sivan. No, not, I got my days wrong. They have the end of Adar, right? Oh yeah, we're explaining now this happened on the 21st day of Nisan. So you have the majority of Adar from the 7th day of Adar until the end. You have the 21 days in Nisan. And then you have a full month of Adar Sheni in the middle. So that's why it says 3 months. It wasn't literally 3 months. It was 3 months if you kind of count Rubo Kukuo. If you say the majority of a month is considered a full month, so you had the majority of Adar, then you had a full month of Adar Sheni, and then you have the majority of Nisan, that's 3 months. Okay, that's how we explain it. Batomer Achoso Obas Paro. So now, famously, Miriam approaches Batya and says, Ha'elech v'karasi lach isha meinekes mina evrios. Should I call for you a wet nurse from the Jews? The Gemara says, Umay shnami ivrios. Why did she specifically offer her a Jewish wet nurse? Milamed sheikh ziru lamosha al kol mitzrios. That teaches you that they tried to have Moshe feed from all of the Egyptians. Kulan voyanak. And he never, it didn't work. It didn't take. He wasn't willing to drink. Amar, he said, or Hashem said, Pesha asid ludaber mashchina yinek davar tame. Should a mouth that's ultimately one day going to talk with the Shechina, talk with Hashem himself, should he drink from a davar tameh, from something that's impure, from milk from a non-Jewish woman? That only someone who is pure, who has only drank pure milk from and someone who's been removed from Shadayim from Tame milk, only that someone is a Yoredeya, someone that can kind of think straight and receive Nevuah, etc. Okay, good. So that's that. But just interesting, I just pulled this out. I know we're short on time. I just wanted to show you this. In Yoredeya, in Simon Pei Aleph, Sif Zion, it talks about the halachos of drinking milk from a woman. So is a woman's milk kosher? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Chalav Isha Mutter V'Pishapiresh, that you're allowed to drink milk from a woman, but you're not allowed to do it straight from the woman. That says that's considered a kiyonek sherei. It's a disgusting thing to drink it straight from the woman. But if the milk has already been expressed, then it's kosher. Is that true of all milk? So the mechaber doesn't distinguish, but the Rama says chalav mitzris kechalav yisraelis. That as a matter of baseline halacha, it doesn't matter whether it's a Jewish woman or a not Jewish woman. Nevertheless, it's better for a baby, a Jewish baby, not to drink from a not Jewish woman. If it's possible to drink from a Jewish woman, quoting from the Rashba, it's kind of a midas chasidus not to drink from a non-Jewish woman because it's considered a timtum halev, and this is not clear. I mean, the post can talk about whether this is because inherently the non-Jewish woman is considered impure or because she's eating machalos asuros, and machalos asuros are going to be expressed through the milk. And on picking up on that, the Rama says, v'chein lo tocha ha-meinekes afil yisraelos dvar ma'asurim. Right? So even a Jewish woman who's nursing should not be eating dvar ma'asurim. The Shach points out this is referring to the fact that you might have a situation where the woman must eat dvar ma'asurim because she's a chola. She's needs it for medicine. She needs to eat something that's treif as a medical thing. So that woman ideally should not be nursing a Jewish baby because it's going to ultimately make his way. And therefore, it's considered a timtum alev. It's kind of spiritually and ritually impure. Not ideal for the tinok. This is all quoted from the Rashba as midas chasidus. Meikar adin, there wouldn't be a distinction between a Jewish woman and a not Jewish woman in terms of nursing. Okay, let's just try to finish up the end. Batomer labas paro luchi. Amrav lozim avish shalcha bezrizos kalma. So it says, the end of the pasuk says, Vatelecha alma, that she went, referring to Miriam, the young woman went. She wasn't so young necessarily, but it's teaching you that she went bezrizos, she went quickly like a young woman. Rabbi Shmuel Rechavini Amar Halma, why is it referring to alma, a young woman? She'alima es devara, because she concealed what was really going on. She didn't reveal to Batya that this was Yocheved, this was the mother of the baby. Vatomer labas paro, heilichi es hayalad hazeh. She said, bring this baby. Amar of Chama Bar Chanina, Misnaba Veni Odas Misnaba. This is the second time we said that Batya had Nevuah, but didn't even know she was having Nevuah. She kind of didn't know what she was doing. Helichi Ha Shalechi, right? By saying the words Helichi, it's a little funny way of saying it. And she was alluding to the fact that this is your, right, hey, Lichi, take this baby to where it belongs, to the actual mother that it belongs to. And I will pay you for nursing it. So he points out that it's not only that tzaddikim, they get their aveda back, right? This was Yocheved's rightful baby, and he was entitled to it back. And that's what happened. But not only that, but she actually got paid for taking it back as a special bonus. So Miriam took the baby. Achos Aaron below Achos Moshe. Why is it referred to her as Achos Aaron, not as Achos Moshe? Amar of Amram, Amar Rav, Amri wa Amar Rav, Nachman Amar Rav, Mulamit Shaisa Misnaba Kishi Achos Aaron. When she was still only the sister of Aaron, before Moshe Rabbeinu was born, she already had Nevuah, the Omeris, and she said, Asida imi shetelid ben shomeshe Yisrael. She had a Nevuah that her mother would one day give birth to the Moshe and Shal Yisrael, to the Savior of the Jewish people. The Kevin Shinolad Moshe, And once Moshe was born, Nismali kol abayis kula or, the whole house was filled with light. Amar Avia, her father stood up, Amram stood up, v'nashka al rosha, and he kissed her on her head. Amar la, he said to her, Biti, niskaima nivua sayach. My daughter, your nivua has been mikuyam. He saw that Miriam had foretold the fact that this would be a great baby, the Moshiach of Yisrael, because the whole house is filled with light. The kevin she'tilu li'or, and once he was placed in the yor, in the basket, Amar Avia v'tapcha arosha. So her father stood up and knocked her on her head. And he said, Amar la biti echa nivua sayach. He said, you had this great nevuah that the Moshiach of Yisrael would be born, and everyone was so happy. The house is filled with light, but now look what's happened. He's at great peril in the basket, in the yor. That Miriam, the Pasuk says, Miriam went specifically to watch and safeguard and see what would happen with Moshe, to see what would happen with her, what would ultimately happen with the nevuah that she had foretold, that she had prophesied, to see if things would turn out okay. You know, the end of the story, thank God things turned out okay.
All right, go ahead.